SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Baltimore, a very good Preakness Week Monday race fan. Sirius 219 XM 201. Sports Zone 964 if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebick.com. From Old Hilltop, Pimlico Racecourse. And as always, I love coming here. And is it a little dog-eared? Is it a little threadbare? Yes. Is it full of history and its own special? It is Charm City, so charm. Yes, it is. And Pimlico, whose days hosting this event may be numbered. In fact, when we left you on Friday, a little later, some word from the Stronach Group and the largest commitment they would make is through next year here, and after that, uncertain. And you know, it's funny, just because last week we had a couple of Maryland-ish discussions. One, of course, with Stuart Pittman, who's running for county executive seat at Anne Arundel County. And with Andy Beyer, too, who Andy, I think Andy was ready to move this event to Laurel 20 years ago, is the way he made it sound. a wait and see. And we'll connect, I'm sure, with Sal Sinatra and Tim Ritvo and maybe get a little further thought. And certainly lays with them and how the Stronach Group wants to allocate resources. And you can understand it as I said, and you've heard me say many times, it would be just really sad to leave here for Preakness. Not that it hasn't moved before, right? It was in New York, and then it came back, and there's lots of examples of events like this that have had to change with the times. We'll see what happens. In the meantime, we've got Saturday to look forward to, and plenty of movement since we left you on Friday. Plenty of weekend action to peruse and recap, but let's talk about the reason we're all here, and that is the Preakness on Saturday. Justify continues to just march along and prepare, and he'll come here midweek. Coming here in the next hour, expected to arrive about 10 o'clock, Justify's nearest pursuer, Good Magic, and Chad Brown committed, not surprisingly, kind of hinted at that last week, that Good Magic was almost certainly coming. And he'll arrive for a week of training. He'll get a chance to gallop here the next 4 days into the race. And one horse that seemed to be coming and then pulled up and changed direction, Bolt Oro. If you had not heard, as of yesterday, Jay Privman explaining and having talked to Mick Ruiz, an interesting gambit and one that is potentially a very clever direction for Bolt Oro and Mick Ruiz to take, and that is to go to the Met Mile. And, of course, three-year-olds in the Met, that's a fun storyline. So that'll add to Belmont Day's appeal. Not that it needs much more, but turns back, and this should be a this very well could be a move that's hailed later. He might run into some real monsters like Army Mule, although we're waiting to hear from Todd Pletcher, his status, and Backyard Heaven, the emergent Chad Brown. So, Bolt Doro bolts toward the Met Mile. Otherwise, we had some of the minor players making decisions. If you hadn't seen or heard any of the fringe players, Pony Up, Not Coming, and some of those kinds of horses. Who else? Give Me a Minute that had been potentially rumored to participate. Not Coming. But Lone Sailor, who was fully expected, Tom Amos, and of course, Quip has been pointing for this since before Derby. Diamond King made the decision, of course, to bypass the Peter Pan and use his free square that he earned in the Tessio. Steve Asmussen with Tenfold, Ron Winchell, and the pair from Dwayne Lucas, Bravazo, trying to emulate Oxbow. Not only did Oxbow finish sixth and win the Preakness, but Bravazo finished sixth as well. We'll see what in the Derby. We'll see what he can parlay it into. And Sporting Chance, who has been the author of his own problems, admittedly, but who is also talented and is a real consideration. I don't know. You know, I think you put the Bravazo, the obvious major upset candidate is Good Magic, but plenty of horses, the other six, that could be involved somewhere, and we'll try to figure that out. And in fact, tomorrow we'll start with the Express Bet Preakness Stakes wagering guide updates, and we'll talk to Johnny at the top of hour two this morning, get Johnny's thoughts going into the week. This is one of his favorite venues where you get to have fried chicken for breakfast. And you can't, you know, crab in the morning, that's not a big deal. The crab works its way into plenty of breakfasts, especially with eggs. What's the Eggs Benedict version with crab? There's a name for it. I'm not thinking about it. I am thinking about breakfast, though. I had to get here early, and we had plenty of. It was kind of an adventure, as always, when you come here. Sometimes the famed elevator, the service elevator that can bring you up to the fourth floor. It's an iffy proposition, and of course, I was advised that they had trouble with it last week. No kidding, they've been having trouble with it. I've been coming here a long time, and they've been having trouble with that elevator for as long as I've been coming here. So there's been plenty of Preaknesses where people have to take to the stairwells, but the rain is an issue, and I'm always advising not to worry about weather until it's on top of us. It's on top of us, and not a good forecast for the whole week. Not just worrying about Friday and Saturday, but we'll keep an eye on this. But right now, we'll settle for Johnny's annual Friday Saturday Preakness weekend forecast, which is one beautiful day and one rain day. Right now, we'll take that. Can I book that with somebody? So keep an eye on that portion of the equation, and particularly for Friday. And before we talk after the break, we'll talk about the weekend and some very interesting results and some emergent horses. Speaking of Chad Brown with Backyard Heaven, how about? The tremendous performance in the Bogey that he got from the German mare. Holy cow. That was impressive. A raving beauty. She made the last move, and boy, only had to run a quarter mile. That was impressive. So there's one of the results to get into. And we got the whole weekend, actually, part of that Belmont storyline includes the wildcat stunt by the jocks. And make no mistake, it was a stunt. And it hasn't sat well with any number of people. We'll talk about the way they chose to orchestrate that, and I will get to it. But back to what's already been drawn, which is Friday's Black Eyed Susan Pimlico special card. It would be brutal if this card comes under duress from the elements, because it is spectacular, start to finish. A big card put together by George Anhale, who, as we've said so many times, does a wonderful job. And the Black Eyed Susan ended up with some of the familiar fillies, and that includes the wheeling back out of the Kentucky Oaks by Coach Rocks, who never really got a chance to put in her run in the Kentucky Oaks out of her Gulfstream Oaks win. And I can understand Dale Romans and the team, Roddy Valenti and Rick Pitino and West Point, wanting to run back, because she was coming into the Oaks as good as any of the fillies. So Coach Rocks in here, Midnight Disguise, who's been waiting since the Gazelle when she faltered as the 2-1 favorite. She's going to add blinkers. Linda Rice putting blinkers on the Midnight Loot filly for Wilmot and Taylor. Sarah Street for Kieran McLaughlin, second to My Miss Lily. Godolphin, who had a nice win going back to New York on Saturday. Talk about that. There's an emergent horse or two or three to consider in here. And how about the 2-for-2 Jason Egan Great Notion filly, a Maryland bred, which is always a fun story when it comes to Preakness. That historically has been, you know, one of the great sidebars of the local horses, the Magic Wisners and Deputed Testimony and the like, Oliver's Twist and so forth. But how about in the Black Eyed Susan and the very local product, KCK Racing and Partners, and Jason Egan, who's got just a handful of horses, but does a nice job. And this is a big opportunity for him coming out of the Weber City Miss and winning handily that day. And so she shoulders herself right in. She started as a maiden 40 at Laurel, going 6 furlongs, and then stretched out and beat a solid field in the Weber City. So she's in here, and who else? Graham Motion takes a shot with Mirab, who has kind of not gone forward as a three-year-old. She's kind of treading water a little bit. Red Ruby, Kellen Gorder, tis now filly, and she comes out of the Honeybee. She had won the Martha Washington, and then faltered as the favorite, and she actually fell behind early and never rallied. CS in Charge for Dale Romans. And, of course, every year when Dale's got a horse in this race, we think back to Smart and Pretty, the very ill-fated Smart and Pretty, who had the Black Eyed Susan stolen from her, pure and simple. CS in Charge for Pacella and Jones. Jeremiah Engelhart. Maya comes down. He's got the runner-up from the Weber City and more. How about Ron Paolucci, who's got a handful of horses already for Friday. And I know Ron had an outlandish number of horses run over the weekend, got some wins, and he was kind of tracking the progress of the Luch runners over the weekend. I think he went 10, what did he say, 10, I think 10 runners at 8 tracks. But he's got Tell Your Mama in here, and she's a maiden, but she's one of those maidens that is constantly hitting the board and running into hot horses. So just a part of it. And the Irish War Cry presence in here for Graham Motion. Mrs. De Damaso's New Jersey bred, and started the season well enough in the Hal's Hope, then really misfired in the Heartacre Mile. And that was as the favorite there, 2-1. But one-liner for Todd Pletcher and Rated R Superstar, a Fleet Willie. five-year-old gelding. Hedge fund as well for Pletcher, Discreet Lover, and more. Jose Corrales and Something Awesome shows up here out of the Charlestown Classic win as well. Untrapped for Mike Lankford and Steve Asmussen. So the two headline stakes on Friday. And then there's also the DuPont, the Distaff, and Miss Preakness for the three-year-olds. That came up terrific. Happy Like a Fool in there. And John Sadler comes east with Artistic Diva, who's two for two. It's a fun group. You know who also resurfaces here is Buy, Sell, Hold, Violence's first winner and first stakes winner. Well, she's only had the one start so far this year. Brad Cox brings the Klein's Good Move, the Broken Vow, who's two for two, the homebred. So it could be another nice weekend for the Klein's here. Limited View, who's been a trooper for John Salzman. Really good. Maya's got one in here, too. I Still Miss You, the Majestic Warrior filly that won that state bred stake back in November and said made just one star. Tried the misdirection on turf. Maybe that was just a tightener for this. So, a fabulous card, and that doesn't even include the Ski Pat and the Hilltop, etc. Terrific, terrific card. All allowances and stakes. So, keep your fingers crossed. Speaking of Ski Pat, of course, trained by Leon Blushewicz. We'll catch up with Blue, as always. Somebody said on Twitter, I hadn't thought about it, but Satish for Derby, Blue for Preakness. Who else is an annual visitor at Belmont? I don't know if there's one single annual special visit for Belmont. I'll think about that. But Blue trained Ski Pat, and we will get Blue's best you ever ate crab cake recipe as served at the prime rib. Buzz Baylor. We'll be there, I think Friday. I've got to ask Tina. Probably Friday night. Saturday, a little too much. So, great to be in Baltimore. We'll take this first break. We've got Doug O'Neill. We'll talk about the nice performance by Blended Citizen. And the top two were both very good in there. And we'll have to see. I know that Blended Citizen's coming for the Belmont, but Core Beliefs for Peter Hurton ran. If he had broken right in step, he probably wins, but both of them very good out of the Peter Pan. So we'll talk to Doug, and we got Johnny, we got plenty more. Let's take a break here. We're live at Pimlico.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The 144th Kentucky Derby is in the books, and now it's off to Baltimore for the second leg of the Triple Crown. Will Justify dominate again as a short-priced favorite, or will a long shot up in the apple cart? See what the experts have to say in ExpressBet's free Preakness Wager Guide. That's right, the guide is free to everyone and available online at ExpressBet.com. Inside the guide, you'll find expert selections, analysis, and suggested $100 wagering strategies from some of the game's sharpest handicappers, writers, and broadcasters. Don't plunk down your hard-earned bread until you've read what these guys have to say. Also, ExpressBet's free Preakness Wager Behavior Guide provides you with important stats and trends you won't find anywhere else. Visit ExpressBet.com to access the free Preakness Wager Guide. And while you're there, open a new ExpressBet account and check out our sensational new account offers, including a $500 welcome bonus. Visit the website for complete details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
He's got a long way to go to come and get Army Mule, who's pulling away by five.
2 years ago, Pennsylvania-bred Army Mule was purchased at the Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic sale at Timonium. Now he's a Grade 1 winner.
Army Mule, ultra impressive in the Carter. He flew home.
There'll be more than 30 Pennsylvania breds at the Fasig Tipton 2-year-olds in training sale, May 21st and 22nd at Timonium, Maryland. Breeding and racing in Pennsylvania, it's a winner.
Back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Everyone's a winner, baby. That's so true.
That's so true.
Feeling for you is such a thrill. Everyone's a winner, baby. That's no lie.
That's no lie.
You never fail to satisfy.
We're back at the races. We're back in Baltimore at Pimlico. And a couple of quick hits on some of the racing, even ahead of the weekend. How about Friday? You'll recall we go back to the visit last week with Simon Callahan. And asked them at the end, after we talked about American Gal and everything that went on for him, not just American Gal, but he also had won with Treasuring. At Santa Anita in the Senorita. But he was unveiling a 2-year-old filly that it was very clear that she had real potential and that he was looking forward to her debut. And to Jari, if you did not see it, now, of course, this is just 4.5 and 2-year-olds and so forth. Everybody, not everybody, actually. There was one horse. Van Belvoir had a horse that had run at Keeneland already, so making a second start. But Tajori by Will Take Charge out of the Tappet Mare Anchorage have to... What did I say the other day? I think I have to dream rush the dam. But she was mighty impressive and it took control early and was given the most sedate trip and hand ride by Flavian Pratt. She won by 3-4 lengths, and she could have won by whatever she wanted. This looks like a very nice filly. Kaleem Shah, and originally bred by Rosalind Poland, Kentucky bred, and she was a $525,000 OBS March purchase. So keep an eye on her. And Simon, you heard Simon. He could hear in his voice that he thought highly, and when I featured the result on Saturday, Brad Free picked up on it as well and came back. And even though figures for 4.5 are a little murky. 77 buyer for Tajiri in her debut, going 4.5. Keep an eye on this filly. This looks like, and she's got every, what's amazing about this is she's got every right. I mean, she's bred to two turn. I mean, this is, you know, we'll take charge out of the Tappet mare. So I wanted to slip that in. And actually, she went off, it was interesting, she went off as the second choice. She was kind of, she was both 2-1 with Overemphasize. Michael McCarthy sent out that one, and in fact, McCarthy had a pair in there. And Overemphasize went slightly favored over Tajiri. Okay, so I wanted to, that was from Friday. I wanted to get that in. The Saturday card at Belmont, which we were all looking forward to, we had to wait a little bit, an extra 35 minutes or so, and there was real confusion if you were, you know, the first 10 minutes as horses started to circle. And Twitter, both useful and unpleasant in those settings. The word came pretty quickly, Dave Grenig getting to the background and the details of what was transpiring. And basically, the jocks and the jockeys and Naira, you know, they're operating without a 2018 contract, but, you know, all the obligations are being met on the Naira side. You know, they're paying for the insurances and everything, but some of the details are still up in the air. And this came up at the end of last year, and it became apparent that they would, you know, they behind the scenes were going to work on the issues that the jocks were concerned about, and the usual business portions. And that's so be it. What they did here, though, it was really seemingly unnecessary. And really, if they think that this is something that's going to put, you know, owners and horsemen and bettors and so forth in their corner, I think they're mistaken. This was really a kind of a blindside, and I called it a stunt earlier. That's kind of what it was. And Johnny Velasquez said, well, we wanted to get their attention. Well, okay. They never were not going to ride that part of it. And the meeting, they got a meeting with Martin Panza and with Chris Kay, and it just went, you know, it was more substantive than I guess expected. And, you know, they'll continue to work on it, but it just, I don't know. It seemed like a odd time to just, you know, surprise everybody. Not to mention making horses, you know, stand around cinched and saddled for, you know, for 25 minutes. So I don't know. The issues, which include, you know, all the things that are going to be in a contract between riders and racetracks, the one issue that is a part of this apparently is interest in raising the scale of weights. And, you know, the public hears that and they say, oh, well, that would be good, that's true, because the jockey's health and you know, they have to reduce and keep the weight. Except there's one problem with this, and that is that it doesn't matter what the scale of weights is. Because when you raise the scale of weights, and we've had this conversation 1,000 times, if you raise the scale of weights, okay, the guys that are not naturally lightweight, they, you know, makes it easier for them, okay, to make weight, quote unquote. The problem is with the scale of weights is that when you raise it, the group of riders who are, you know, just above the scale limit, now they're going to work to reduce to get to that new raised level. So that is never going away. I mean, if somebody weighs 130 and now they've got a chance to ride in the afternoons, It might be somebody that started their career, and as they grew older, they got taller, they got heavier, and it got impossible to make afternoon weight. Well, if you raise that scale, those guys and gals are going to try to get down to that weight. So the whole thing about, you know, the health and well-being, yes, it would help that certain group that are reducing now to get to weight, but it also opens the door for a whole nother set of prospective afternoon riders. This and the jocks, the other part of that is the jocks are not unified on this at all. There's a wide array of opinions on this front. I mean, the rest of the thing, you know, things like safety protocols, everybody's for that. And nobody's going to argue about, you know, the presence of the proper medical staff and emergency support and concussion protocols, things like that. Those things are all, you know, and equipment and, you know, so many things since the NTRA started the integrity and safety program and the accreditation program. You know, you heard we were, I think you heard either, you didn't hear it on air, but I sent the tweet out at Churchill with the loose horse and you hear the alarms. Well, there's the lighting system and the alarm system that is an outgrowth of these kinds of negotiations between the guild and racetracks. But this I don't think you know, was the best way to go about the airing of the grievances, as it were, especially because it doesn't seem like they, you know, they gave any, you know, real opportunity for there to be, you know, the appropriate approach. Anyway, once things got underway, the racing was mighty entertaining, and you had Wesley Ward with Kirby's Penny win that vagrancy, and this mare. It's funny, Tina and I, we have a cat, Kirby, and so every time Kirby's Penny runs, we take a slight interest, and has now won, I think seven races and 12 starts, and this was a horse that Kent Spellman and Wesley, you know, had and was a maiden 40, and then got claimed away, and then Wesley and Spellman went back and took her back. And now a five-year-old mare, and she, as a mature mare, she's been tremendous. She had a great winter, or, you know, prepared over the winter, came back on the dirt and, you know, started her career on the grass, but came back, was a good second to Miner's Cat, Charlie Lopresti, at Keeneland. Then that was in the fall, and then started her five-year-old season with a big win at Keeneland, and now follows it up. She's a grade three winner. So congratulations to Kent Spellman, and he bought this mare originally. She's out of a Peace Rules mare. And now you persevered, and you made her into a graded stake winner. Some of the, you know, there were some races on Saturday at Belmont that weren't just the stakes. The stakes card was fabulous, but in the interim between the vagrancy and then when things started, you know, the all stakes pick four, starting with the Run Happy, there were two fan favorites. And Voodoo Song, unbelievable. Barry Schwartz, is homebred English Channel colt. Voodoo Song gets up under Johnny at 9-2. Velasquez was riding like a demon on Saturday. And this horse, of course, got very popular last summer at Saratoga. Went on that skein from a 40 claimer through state bred allowances through the Saranac, then just missed in the Commonwealth, and now has come back as a four-year-old, and after getting caught at Aqueduct to open the season, wins a nice open allowance. Patch talk about Patch, and Patch ran a tremendous race, and the one-eyed wonder did not pick. I wrote in my analysis, did not pick an easy spot to come back for his seasonal debut. Patch found himself some quality allowance types, and a mile and a 16th one turn, that's a testing, it's a testing distance, and Patch benefited from a very good Velasquez ride, getting him outside so that it makes it a little easier for him, and he came and ran down Chris and Dave, who, gotta be honest, I bet, and was an attractive price, and got caught by Patch, and that is a good start for him to his four-year-old year. Then came the late action. You had a very tricky horse, 11-1, the JY, who ran down Change Will Do You Good. And boy, Change Will Do You Good did everything in here but win. Ran terrific race. This is a horse, Bruce Levine got him back. Chuck Simon had him down in Florida over the winter. And this was one of those always or very regularly productive state-bred allowance turf races. And I talk about this mostly at Saratoga, but any time of year, these are invariably, you get prices. And you had a 11-1 over a 12-1 over a 26-1. Just unbelievable. And the 50-cent try, 714. The Babe Ruth. You hit a home run if you, all 714 of it, for 50 cents. So a $1,400 triple for a buck. Then came the stakes. Let's talk about the stakes. Kieran McLaughlin, Westwood, and Westwood seemed to me to figure it keyed off of him. And Westwood, the Godolphin, the homebred, unbelievably elite breeding, the Bernardini out of the wonderful Ashado. And this is a nice win. It kind of breaks the ice, and it tried the Commonwealth. Maybe the 7 furlongs was just a bridge too far. He's been more effective going 6 and 6.5. And so the 4-year-old gelding, he's going to be around, and he's going to be leave it to Kieran to work with Westwood. This is going to be he's going to be okay. 99 buyer. Winning the run happy over a nice group of hard hitters. Skyler Scramjet, who went favored and ran another good race, but wasn't going to get by Westwood. So Always Sunshine. I used Ned Allard came up and was 13-1 and helped boost it. Wasn't a big try, but he was the key to making anything out of it. That gets us to the Bogey, and what an impressive performance from a raving beauty, a master craftsman mare, a 5-year-old, and very similar ownership team to Monomoy Girl with Michael Dubb, his longtime partner, Mike Caruso, Bethlehem Stables. When you see Bethlehem Stables, that's Mike Caruso, one of the greatest wrestlers in collegiate and schoolboy history. His entire career as a high school and collegiate wrestler at Lehigh, Bethlehem, I think was beaten twice ever in his career. One of the greatest. Go to the Wrestling Hall of Fame, and you'll find Mike Caruso. Mattaquette, of course, as well, Sal Cumin, and it looks like they've landed on a very nice mare here, and she had, she had been keeping good company, not great, some group twos. She was second to Laganor in the Tessio in Italy at Campanile, but this is looks like a major player going forward, and she just exploded in the stretch when produced by Arad Ortiz Junior getting by in flexibility. Team of teams looked like, you know, she looked like Lone Speed, and that's exactly how it played out. And for a long time, it looked like Team of Teams was moving comfortably. And then you could see some horses were coming into range, and Raving Beauty got up and passed, and Inflexibility also came rallying for Chad to be second. And Kieran McLaughlin's with Lido ended up third in here. And I don't know when you're getting 3-1 again on Raving Beauty. This was a big performance by the newcomer. We'll talk later with Doug O'Neill about Blended Citizen, but clearly dirt is not an issue for those that were unconvinced about his dirt capabilities. Well, Blended Citizen comes to New York, comes out of the Bluegrass where he was fifth, kind of a mild but not unnoticed fifth in the Bluegrass after the Jeff Ruby victory, and follows up the Bluegrass with a nice win, catching Core Beliefs. So as I said, Core Beliefs coming back to one turn, the mile in the eighth one turn, off the two-turn Santa Anita Derby where it just wasn't getting, obviously wasn't getting to justify in Boldoro that day, but he's a nice horse. And it'll be interesting to see how Peter Urton wants to go forward, because there's a lot there. This is a quality road colt bred by Tom Young, and Gary Broad bought him at the Barrett sale last year for $350,000. And he's going to be hanging around the three-year-old stakes scene. But Blended Citizen, and certainly he'll go forward. Proud Citizen out of the Langfuhr mare. And we'll talk more with Doug in a little bit. I suppose I suppose High North, a bit of a disappointment. Just Whistle was okay out of the maiden win. He's got a future, of course. Michael Matz, the Pioneer of the Nile. Homebred for Mrs. Groves. And Peter Pan. We'll see how much of an impact it's going to have this year on the Belmont Stakes. I will also mention, of course, coming out of the Bluegrass gets a sidebar. Let's mention, because Kanthaka, we'll get to this in a little bit, John White later, and we'll talk with John about the Santa Anita weekend. Kanthaka with his win in the Las Barrera. So within a couple of hours of each other, Blended Citizen, fifth in the Bluegrass, Kanthaka, sixth in the Bluegrass, both come back to win graded stakes. And that scores big points for the Bluegrass when it comes to the American Graded Stakes Committee. This is what has to happen if the Bluegrass is going to work its way back to grade one status. And of course, Good Magic's performance in the Derby helps. You also even had, even though it wasn't a board hit, Arawak, speaking of Doug O'Neill, Arawak, fourth in the American turf, beaten two lengths. So he's going to, if he's good, obviously we'll talk to Doug about it, but you can anticipate that Arawak could turn into a stakes winner, or at least a stakes scorer when it comes to the grass side of things for three-year-olds. So the Bluegrass racking up points, unlike LeBron James last night. that gets us to the Man of War and High Happy. And this is a horse that has really, as a six-year-old, I mean, last year was okay, was moving forward, came out of Argentina, the son of Pure Prize. He's a horse, by the way, not a gelding. And after Philippe Sousa had a very solid five-year-old, if slightly abbreviated, season with him in the winter, then resurfaced with Todd Pletcher and the La Providencia, the Haras, and the breeder owners from Argentina, and now a grade one winner. And he followed up the win in the Pan American with a terrific performance here. And what also can you say about one go, all go, Scooter Dickey? And he, boy, oh boy, what a job Scooter's done. Now, is a grade one placed, also a horse, 6 year old. So this is fun to have horses like High Happy and One Go All Go, put their stamp onto the division. And it really feels, here we are in the first third, really coming on the first half of the season, and you know, looking down the road, Breeders' Cup Turf, it's going to be good. Sadler's Joy, I can't say that Leperu left him with too much to do. That's what he does. He kind of falls out of it, settles in the first half of the race, starts to make up a little ground, and then comes with the run. And there was a point when he looked like there was no way he was getting anything. And then all of a sudden, there was a few strides late in the stretch that made it look like he might get it all. But High Happy kept going. And I happened to stop at Belmont yesterday on the way here and see my guy, CC Acca, who had a huge day. Congratulations to Gary with the middle double, the fourth and the fifth, and actually second in the second race too, but with Mandy Latterer's panic attack. But I got disqualified, got put down, but down the chart. But had to see Gary, and ran into Albert Tranny, who was stoic, but a little frustrated, I think. Last year, third behind Zukova and Taglieb in the Man of War, comes running late and just not getting to High Happy. So he's a horse that just has to deal with, you know, with the way in which races unfold. A very nice afternoon. It was fun to play the action at Belmont. That the JY kind of threw a wrench in the plans a little bit, but it was really a fun afternoon. Let's take a break here. That gets us squared up on the big day at Belmont. That started late but finished fast, and plenty more to talk about as we get ready for Preakness weekend here at Pimlico. Hi ho, Pimlico, back after this.
The latest racing news.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The 144th Kentucky Derby is in the books, and now it's off to Baltimore for the second leg of the Triple Crown. Will Justify dominate again as a short-priced favorite, or will a long shot up in the apple cart? See what the experts have to say in ExpressBet's free Preakness Wager Guide. That's right, the guide is free to everyone and available online at ExpressBet.com. Inside the guide, you'll find expert selections, analysis, and suggested $100 wagering strategies from some of the game's sharpest handicappers, writers, and broadcasters. Don't pluck down your hard-earned bread until you've read what these guys have to say. Also, ExpressBet's free Preakness Wager Guide provides you with important stats and trends you won't find anywhere else. Visit ExpressBet.com to access the free Preakness Wager Guide. And while you're there, open a new ExpressBet account and check out our sensational new account offers, including a $500 welcome bonus. Visit the website for complete details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
He's got a long way to go to come and get Army Mule, who's pulling away by five.
2 years ago, Pennsylvania bred Army Mule was purchased at the Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic sale at Timonium. Now he's a grade one winner.
Army Mule, ultra impressive in the Cartery flew home.
There'll be more than 30 Pennsylvania breds at the Fasig Tipton two-year-olds in training sale, May 21st and 22nd at Timonium, Maryland. Breeding and racing in Pennsylvania, it's a winner.
Destination unknown. Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races from high atop Pimlico. Kind of high atop, fourth floor. It's pretty high, actually. I can tell you one thing. When that elevator's not working, it feels very high. When you're trudging up, there was one year where the elevator was being serviced. When we came in, coming in the mornings, you know, early in the week, and I had the equipment. Yeah. Up the stairs, it's and you know, it can get hot here. If you aren't aware, it can get hot in this Mid-Atlantic region. Yeah, and the stairwell. I remember trudging up those stairs with the equipment. That's funny. That goes back a number of years, actually. Just a couple of minutes here to Johnny, till Johnny joins us. Then Doug O'Neill, going to also check in with Dick Powell, and we're going to be able to cover. You know, we've done some coverage of Presque Isle, and typically, you know, we start mid season. We're going to start right from the beginning of the year, and it's opening day at Presque Isle Downs in lovely Erie, and Dick's going to join us, and we'll be able probably do it. Today it's opening day, so we're doing it on a Monday, but we'll typically do it on Tuesdays, and we'll be able to kind of cherry pick Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday racing at Presque Isle. And I think getting at it from the beginning of the meet will be helpful, you know, to get right in. And as I mentioned with Doug Salvatore, of course, Doug jock agenting there, and there's no rules against jock agents betting. You don't have to worry about Doug not betting. No betting down in Nashville this weekend, and we got to connect with Sean Clancy, and actually with Ricky Hendricks too. Ricky Hendricks is having a tremendous year, and really, you know, after talked about this with Bill Gallo, the Grade One Iroquois on Saturday at Percy Warner in Nashville, and they had a very nice day of racing. And Zanjabil with a commanding win under Ross Garrity, the Aussie Rules gelding. He's a 5-year-old too, so this is a horse that is going to be around gelding, bred in England. And Zanjabil beats Modem, who had taken over mid race. Going the 3 miles. So Grade One win for Zanjabil. And a couple of horses of note. Mr. Hot Stuff in there. He was pretty well beaten. He was fourth. He was really the closest, the top four. Zanjabil, Modem, Jamarjo, and Mr. Hot Stuff. Sempre Medici, well back for Cyril Murphy and Mr. Naylor. And Kremlin was a faller, and so it was all the way Jose, Jonathan Shepherd. But it looked like a terrific day at Percy Warner. And Jack Fisher won an allowance. with Bruton Street's Lord Justice. You had Julie Gomina send out Three Kingdoms to an exciting win. Kieran Norris over Skudik. That came in the three-mile handicap. Colvin Ryan owns. You had Shepherd win the Frost. That was with Iranistan for the Hudson River team. Clancy second in there with Gibralfaro. Sarah Joyce, a winner for Elizabeth Voths and the Fields team. Jack Doyle, that was in the Henley. And Sight broke the jump maiden for Jack Fisher and Mrs. Johnston as well. I think there was one more. Jimmy Day. Jim Day with Mrs. Bryant. Played it. Won the timber race. The Mason Hoagland. There you go. So there's your jump results. And I did get a text Friday night from Clancy asking me where the hell are you? Why are you not the travel part was, believe me, I tried. I wanted to go, but it's going to take some. I'm supposed to go from Louisville to Nashville to Baltimore. That's the not easy. And you know, I'd have to have the car here, and so I'd have to go to Baltimore, like on Thursday night, I guess, do the show maybe from here. I guess that's not impossible. Fly Friday. It was awkward. It's going to take. That's a billiard shot to figure out how to get to, how to get to, the Iroquois going forward. I'll try. I feel badly. I appreciate that Clancy was trying to use the stick and exhort me to come. I want to get there. They say it's one of those can't miss experiences on the steeplechase circuit. So Nashville, the Iroquois. And let me throw this in too before Johnny joins us, and we'll dive into Preakness with Johnny. But Matru, the 8-year-old gelding. Unbelievable. Matru wins the Hanshin Cup at a fat 9-1, pays $19.60. And this was a pretty nice mutual. Favored Master Marion could only manage fourth for Wesley Ward. And as a result, you ended up with some bonus mutuals. And speaking of which, you know, we pointed you toward the card at Arlington, the Saturday card, as things really start to get rolling there. This was a very nice sequence. And I gave you the idea, you know, the pick four, which had nice big fields, and the pick five. Pick five, actually, and the first two legs, the pick five and the first leg of the pick four, you had very approachable winners. Then came Matru. The winners, you had Hugh Robertson win, paid $5.20 in the first leg of the pick five. That was the Illinois bred maidens. Then you had the cheap claimer, paid $5.60, Fianetta. Then the Hanshin, $19.60, $24.40 though in the maiden race, Brian Williamson, Graffito, with Perez aboard, and that paid $24.40. So if you got to Matru and then you found Williamson and then you had a horse you had to use, really Spirit, win the nightcap and pay $9.80. The pick five paid $7,131. $7,131. The pick four paid $3,031. So do what you can to take a look at Arlington. Don't one of the great venues in the sport. We're at one of the most historic venues in the sport, Pimlico Racecourse, Old Hilltop. We'll take a break here. Johnny D will be here midweek. It's one of his favorite venues. We'll talk to Johnny. Got the ExpressBet Preakness Wagering Guide. Little trickier in terms of tickets. This is one of those circumstances. Looks like 8 horses in the Preakness. So you're looking at You're looking at, instead of small increment of money spreading horses around, you're looking more at, not the shotgun approach. Looks like you need the rifle here. You need to be focused and figure out, you know, who to lean on to make it pay. And of course, the multis. But you know, multis have been, gotta tell you, haven't hit a quality multi in a few weeks, and a little frustrating. So, see how to approach the Preakness with Johnny Express Bet, and they put on a big show here. Of course, this is their show here when it comes to it. Twin Spires at Churchill, Express Bet at Pimlico, and Naira Bets at Belmont. Everybody gets a turn. Back after this with Johnny D.
Latest racing news.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The 144th Kentucky Derby is in the books, and now it's off to Baltimore for the second leg of the Triple Crown. Will Justify dominate again as a short-priced favorite, or will a long shot up in the apple cart? See what the experts have to say in ExpressBet's free Preakness Wager Guide. That's right, the guide is free to everyone and available online at ExpressBet.com. Inside the guide, you'll find expert selections, analysis, and suggested $100 wagering strategies from some of the game's sharpest handicappers, writers, and broadcasters. Don't plunk down your hard-earned bread until you've read what these guys have to say. Also, ExpressBet's free Preakness Wager Guide provides you with important stats and trends you won't find anywhere else. Visit ExpressBet.com to access the free Preakness Wager Guide. And while you're there, open a new ExpressBet account and check out our sensational new account offers, including a $500 welcome bonus. Visit the website for complete details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
He's got a long way to go to come and get Army Mule, who's pulling away by five.
2 years ago, Pennsylvania-bred Army Mule was purchased at the Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic sale at Timonium. Now he's a Grade 1 winner.
Army Mule, ultra-impressive in the Cartery Flew Home.
There'll be more than 30 Pennsylvania breds at the Fasig Tipton 2-Year-Olds in Training Sale, May 21st and 22nd at Timonium, Maryland. Breeding and racing in Pennsylvania, it's a winner.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.